Hello everyone, welcome back to the channel. I'm George from Ireland. This is about Andy Burnham, because there's a high chance he'll be the only candidate for the Labour leadership. It's like an 80% chance. If he is opposed, about a 90% chance he's going to win. So yeah, the overall chance he's going to be Prime Minister is very high. It's like 90%. Now, obviously the market's a little bit worried, and I must emphasise little, partly because it's so probable that he will be Prime Minister, and looking like this will be sorted in quite short order. Nominations open 6th of July, so 9th of July, closed 16th of July, and he could be the leader of the Labour Party by then. Would Starmer resign immediately or leave it a week or two? Very likely within a month it's going to be finished, because even if there is a contested election, it probably wouldn't go on even to quite to the end of July. Talk about saying, oh, should the handover be at the end of the Labour conference on 27th of September? Very few people think the transition should be that long, you know? Okay. So let's work on the assumption that Andy Burnham is going to become Prime Minister. And almost nobody's opposed to him now. And obviously, Labour certainly needs a solution, and he is one. So he's been frank about what some of them are. Obviously, he was the mayor of Manchester, the United Kingdom's third most populous city, for 10 years into his third term. And he thinks that mayors having considerable sway is a good thing. So devolution. Is asymmetric devolution in the United Kingdom. So when Westminster devolves power, Northern Ireland's got a different setup from Scotland, from Wales, from London itself. So the only place that doesn't have devolution is England outside London, but he wants it to be sort of more extensive for Greater Manchester. Remember, that's not just the area that's officially the city of Manchester. It does take in some of the dormitory towns. Likewise, it'd be the West Midlands conurbation or whatever. So these mayors ought to have more extensive degree of control over housing, transportation, certain public services, the economy in those areas, and so forth. And he believes in some nationalisation, in more public ownership. Now, Labour's already gone down that road with the so-called Great British Railways. I've seen them repainted these things in delivery. What's happening in Northern Ireland, I don't know, because the railways in Northern Ireland are publicly owned, not privately owned, so maybe there'll be no change. If you did put Great British Railways on them, some nationalists would probably graffitiise them. Okay, so what else is he likely to do? So that would be a nod to the left. But some utilities already struggling, and he could expand public ownership. Likewise, so energy, cost of living is a big problem, particularly some economically depressed areas near him. The so-called cost of living crisis is rather an exaggeration, but people have tough times often. So what he can do to keep energy bills down, support for renters, will they pay some of the rent, will there be price caps, but then less property will be on the market, it'll be hurting the landlords, they'll have less incentive to do buy to let or to keep things in a good state of repair. Is already very problematic for landlords, because the more extensive these renters' rights, the worse it is for landlords. And if I can't get a bad tenant out, I'll just not have a tenant at all, some of them might say. So this might actually backfire. But he believes in the clunking fist of the state in intervention and hyper-regulation. Okay, reducing taxes on the lowest paid, that might be a good one. Anyway, electoral reform, away from the current first-past-the-post system, which he thinks favours the Conservatives, and there's a certain logic to that belief. Proportional representation, something like that, establishing a commission to recommend an alternative. Remember, there was a Jenkins Commission under Blair's first administration, produces a report in 1999, Alternative Vote Plus, and was simply binned by Labour. They did nothing, because Labour saying, well, this system worked very well for us. 1997, 2001, 2005. 2005, Labour got 35% of the vote and 55% of the representation. Of course, then it worked badly for Labour. Recently, it's worked very, very well indeed. But if Labour introduces some form of electoral reform, they may never get a majority again. They might have to have these coalitions with the Liberal Democrats, the Greens, a Conference of Supply, the Scottish National Party. It'd be more problematic for them. But they also reckon the Conservatives would never form a single party government as it is. Remember, there was another referendum in 2011. It was rejected. So despite the public rejecting a similar scheme, he might go ahead. He might say, well, maybe go full PR. Full PR wasn't there. And of course, it is true that Parliament is not obliged to abide by what the public says. A referenda. There's a little point in having a referenda there. OK, so he might push ahead with that. That's not really a bread and butter issue. Most public don't even understand what the electoral system is. He believes in boosting the economy through investment. OK, major infrastructure projects, especially in regions far away from London, maybe trying to take more money out of southern England to economically depressed areas or less wealthy areas like Northern Ireland, North Britain, Mid-Britain, Northern England, and so forth. Okay, so develop the regions, improve transport connectivity. Is tram in Manchester been a success? Okay, road and rail. More industry, but you know, the United Kingdom was notoriously bad at doing things. There's a hugely over budget. They're hugely behind schedule. Look at HS2, something like, well, it will take 20 years to go London to Manchester, not even 100 miles. The cost of something like £80 billion. It's eye-watering. It's something like six times more expensive than countries like France and Germany, comparable countries. So they'd have to do what Labour would hate to do, which is to deregulate and abolish a lot of the planning legislation, no more such judicial review, don't care about ecological concern. This is held up about some habitat for bats. I don't care about bats, to go full steam ahead with it. And I think the thing is, big is not beautiful. What might work for it is a lot of small little projects. The totality of that, in terms of the benefit it brings the travelling public, might be greater than one gargantuan one that leaves a legacy for someone like Boris Johnson. Okay. So he said he would want to rejoin the European Union. Then he said he did not. But yeah, we shall see. You don't know where he is. Anyway, he said he will stick by what Labour said in the manifesto, not contribute value-added tax or national insurance or income tax. Okay, I think he's less left-wing than he's generally perceived. He was a conventional Blairite, Brownite minister. He tacked, you know, when the Labour Party was moving that way, when he had to face off against Corbyn. Remember 2010, he came, was it fourth of the Labour candidates out of five? And 2015, he came second, 20% of the vote in Labour to Corbyn, 60%. And then he was in Corbyn's shadow cabinet for a while. So he carried favour with him when Labour was far left. But presumably he's not daft, and he realises that those policies are too left field. Some people are a bit more moderate. And there's a danger of being a left-wing Liz Truss. If the bond markets don't like it, if borrowing costs are going up, you can't tax your way out of this situation. Probably would raise taxes a bit more, but he realises he mustn't kill the goose that lays the golden egg. Yeah, one thing he's not saying that has to be done is the benefits bill has got to be brought down. And not so that people are disabled, we should not be giving so many people personal dependence payment, or if it is reducing it, things like that, making people work. That's it, you work or you starve. Now, obviously, Labour's not going to do that because they all want people on benefits to vote for them. And the far left in the Labour Party, that's a lot of them, would rebel over that one. And cutting the size of the state, slimming down civil service, these are things he's not even talking about. So, yeah, I think maybe if he was Prime Minister for 2 or 3 years, it's going well, then he might try and join the European Union with a referendum or not. Short of that, he could try and rejoin the single market. Then the argument will be the United Kingdom's almost in the EU. The logical thing is to take the final step and actually rejoin. So that's what I think is going to be there. Anyway, he's always used his power against the weak, against the vulnerable. He has murdered little children, and he's not going to stop, sadly. So he has got no mercy. He's got no common decency. He's a thoroughly evil man, like all sorts of Labour people. Oh, because he's blokey and he wore an Everton shirt and he goes jogging. Well, he's a man of the people. Maybe that's true. But that doesn't reduce one whit the cruelty of Andy Burnham. So it'll be more tax and spend. It'll be more oppression. It'll be more Labour bigotry. So there's not much to look forward to. Goodbye.